Hi, I'm Stunning Stella Cheeks.
And I'm the Enigma Erin Klein.
And this is Not Your Demographic, a feminist wrestling podcast.
Shockingly, those exist.
Oh wait, whoa.
I feel bamboozled.
Is that now what we're doing right now?
I had a sudden flash of horror, like, how high am I? Did I really forget that's what we're doing?
That's so funny. I was like, how am I gonna start this WrestleMania? Every mania ever. For those of you who are not subscribing to our Patreon, A, shame on you. B, that's the introduction we do to our Every Manias Ever. We go, Every Mania Ever. Pew, 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 pew. And so I really threw Erin off.
Now is the time to be subscribing, too. We're about to finish the next WrestleMania we have to watch is 13, which is the end of the old school era. And then we enter the Attitude Era. So now's a good time to get on board.
Attitude Era. And if I'm not mistaken, the Every Mania Ever 12 will go up on Saturday.
All right.
If I'm not mistaken, I'm the one that makes the schedule.
I just say, yes, of course. That's what's happening because you're the one that's in charge.
How you feeling? WrestleMania season imminent. Takeover is tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
So weird.
Yeah, that's fucking bizarre. Again, it really snuck up on me.
Feels like it snuck up on them, too.
Yeah, it really, really does. I don't know. It's bizarre. Everyone's, like, already there doing stuff, and I'm like, what? What? Like, our friend Ben told us he was leaving, and I was like, wait, why? He's like, I have to drive across the country to go to WrestleMania? Like, oh, yeah, that's right, 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 right.
How yeah, but you? Some of the pictures and stuff, like, and video clips and stuff coming out of, like, the pre-wrestle, like, the indie wrestling WrestleMania stuff has been pretty cool.
Yeah,
mostly
absolutely.
People sending me pictures of Scarlett and her amazing butt.
Her butt really is spectacular. It's absolutely true. She knows it, and she shows it in a really flattering way.
I love it. She's my feminist icon.
I love that that's a thing people tag you about now. It's the best.
Scarlett Bordeaux is a feminist icon. how am I feeling? I feel fine, and I feel like I shouldn't be feeling fine. I feel like I should be like, oh, shit, it's Mania Week, and I got articles due, and I got shit to do, and I got to get ready to tweet 3 days in a row, and I got to, like, just, like, you know, 5 days in a row. I got to tweet 5 days in a row, and, like, let's go. And, like, I'm not freaking out about it. I think, I don't know. I think because maybe I'm not invested in a lot of matches that I'm like, eh, it's all going to happen, and I'm going to be alive for it.
So. Yeah. I feel like maybe that's part of it with me too, is like I'm really heavily invested in two matches and that's kind of it. Three matches, to be fair.
One and a half.
Well,
I'm
I don't know.
Full in on Kofi and I'm half in on main event. And I guess like I'm half in on the tag team. So I would say four main events. Not four main events. What am I talking about? I would say two full matches that I'm invested in, but one of the two are halves. Okay. That's not how math works. Whoa.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody followed that, right? Look, yeah, I'm in school for...
You really nailed that.
I'm in school for communication, not math.
Well.
I cannot communicate these numbers. And now I will read theories about why I'm not able to communicate said numbers.
Oh, good start.
Grad school. Oops. My grandma's texting me about wedding floral.
Oh, great. You're in those weeks. Home stretch.
I've decided to add uplighting, and so that's what we're talking about.
What a bold choice to make so late in the game.
Amber uplighting, so it's really like subtle.
Nice, nice. Actually, you know what? That's funny. We also added uplighting at the last second because it was included in our package and we forgot about it. And so that like a week before our wedding planner was like, What do you want? We're like, oh shit. We just like chose a color. I think it might have been purple. I'm glad you'll have it. It seems to fit you guys better than it fit us. Yeah, I would say I'm fully I don't know if invested is the right word for how I feel about the main event, but I'm like interested. I'm fully interested in what happens. Like I want to know. That is kind of the only reason I'm gonna really make an effort to tune in is because I want to know what happens with that.
Yeah, that's fair. But also, you should tune in and watch the women's matches because that's how this podcast runs.
Oh, I know. I mean, I'm gonna go to a Mania party. I'm clear that that's part of my boycott line that I'm willing to cross is to go to parties so that I can hang out with my friends and stuff. I'm actually going to be watching Takeover for the same reason because I'm driving to Michigan with my friend Dev for a birthday party this weekend, and so we're just going to be in Lansing with nothing to do for like an evening. It's we were like, oh, I guess we'll just watch Takeover.
Great. I look forward to talking about it with you on the other side.
Absolutely.
Are you wearing any wrestling merch to prepare? Oh, so here's a triple part question. What are you wearing now? Are you going to wear anything special on Friday for Takeover? And are you going to wear anything special on Sunday for Mania?
I am kind of on accident. This wasn't really a choice that I made today. I'm wearing my Tommaso Ciampa Psycho Killer shirt, mostly just because I'm sad about the news about Ciampa.
Womp
Like,
womp.
real sad. I feel like, man, I don't
Yeah,
know. I
I've
like.
been catching up on NXT to like actually be prepared to watch this. And then, and I watched NXT last night. And wow, I can feel it already. I can feel like a Ciampa-sized hole. And I know I'm gonna get a lot of flack for this, but like I do not think Johnny Gargano is that interesting without Ciampa or his wife. I think that he's a talented technical wrestler, but as a like charismatic performer, I am not invested at all. And I think Adam Cole is charismatic and could fill a Ciampa hole, obviously in a totally different way. But I don't buy Johnny without Ciampa or without Candace. And they're clearly trying to move Candace away from him. Good, because Candace needs her own shit. But like, I don't get Johnny by himself.
It's weird. I loved Johnny when he was alone in the indies. I really liked him as part of DIY. I liked him as the super good guy when Ciampa was the bad guy. And then I don't know, like after the turn, I just felt like no investment whatsoever in him anymore. And I know that's kind of supposed to be the point, but I think it worked too well. Like
Agreed.
I agree where like if he was in, if this wasn't like the main belt, I think maybe I might feel differently. But he feels like a mid-card guy, and I don't really mean that as like an insult in any way. I just think that he's a really good storyteller and like could fit into that scene in the mid-card in a much more effective and believable way than the way that he's used right now. And I don't know, maybe that's just my personal preference and I just don't like it. And maybe it's just because I love Ciampa too, that I like have this bias that I prefer him against Johnny.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I always like Ciampa more on the indies, but then I also just like his work in NXT has been incredible. Like, incredible. And then also it's like heartbreaking that like he literally may never be able to come back, which is like devastating, obviously, for him, but also as like a fan. I don't know. I like him really. I am very interested and curious to see what happens with Johnny. Like, I don't think he wins. I think Adam Cole wins. I just think that Adam Cole has a type of charisma that he can like fill that heel vacuum. And I don't think he would will if he wins, I don't think he will hold it for very long or like anything to the level that Ciampa did. But I think like immediately you need to fill that vacuum. And I don't think Johnny can do it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I feel like it feels like they want to move Undisputed Era up to the main roster. And so that's the
And
only thing
who
that makes
fucking
me.
what with him?
I know. That's the whole thing is it's weird is that they're in this like craze to rush people up because they have so many people in the lower part of NXT that they want to move into these spots on TV and they don't know how to write for a cast that large. And truthfully, probably can't really write for a cast that large because they only have an
Literally,
hour.
who can?
Yeah, exactly. It's impossible. They would need a lot more. They would need a raw length show to be able to do something with everyone that they want to at this point that they're using in the house shows that people love. Like they just have too many people. And so I think that's part of it is they just want to like shove people up onto the main roster and like who can hang with the fact that you have to be treated like shit on the main road 300 days a year for like 2 years and can you survive up there? That like seems to be the only way to make it on the main roster now, which is so weird. It's like why would you kill your employees' love of what they do by making them like sit in the shadow realm for so long. It's just so bizarre. But it does feel like that's what they want with Undisputed Era. But I don't know. They wanted that with Johnny and Ciampa like 2 years ago. So who the fuck knows? Like, Ciampa getting hurt seems to change the plans a bunch. So I don't think that you're wrong that Adam Cole is a better choice to put the belt on right now, though.
I feel the same way about Johnny Gargano that I do about Finn Balor, where I can acknowledge that this person is a very good wrestler. And I understand, like, in certain contexts, like Johnny with Ciampa and things like that, like, great. But, like, on their own, or even, like, Finn and Joe in NXT, great. But, like, on their own as just a wrestler, it's not enough for me. And I think they're, like, actually kind of milquetoast. You can paint your face. That doesn't mean shit to me. Like, I don't know. And that's, you know, if it gives any context, how I feel about Johnny. So it's just like, it's hard for me to like think that they would. It also is like giving Johnny the title is the button to a Ciampa Johnny story. And I feel like you can't do it now just because Ciampa's not there. You can give Johnny the title, but you have to have it. You have to build to a different story. You can't put a button on a story that may never be able to finish.
Yeah, that's true. Although it's not like they'd never try to do that.
I know. I just think like you have Adam Cole win it, hold it for a fucking month, and then have Johnny win it. Like, I don't know. It just feels weird.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I just don't feel invested in it at all. That's unfortunate, but true.
That's the conversation we had about your t-shirt.
Yes, and what are you wearing?
Well, sidebar, the rest of like my NXT predictions can be seen on Cage Side Seats. If you're like super into that, Erin doesn't do it anymore because she doesn't watch it anymore.
Because I'm boycotting still.
She's boycotting.
Good to know. Oh, also, I saw that they moved back their Saudi Arabia show. Apparently, they were like, yeah, it's going to be in May. Never mind. We're actually going to do it later. No reason right. why we yeah, moved I mean, this.
It was never officially announced for May, but that was like the heavy rumors. And now the heavy rumors are that it's like moved to June and like whatever. Who cares? I don't watch the show, so I don't give a fuck. I mean, I care, but like, fuck them.
Yeah, exactly. And so I was reading that earlier. Was like, yes, fresh reminders of why I'm boycotting this terrible, evil company. But I still support their performers because they're, for the most part, great.
And you watch the women's matches.
And I watch the women's matches by supporting them illegally. Anyway, what are you wearing?
Also inadvertently, because these are the pants that I put on when I got home, are my Dean Ambrose sweatpants.
Okay, that's acceptable.
Honor his not being at WrestleMania and his maybe like, you know, still, is it a work? Is it a shoot? But like probably his soon to be freedom, I guess.
Yeah. Did you see the photo of him and William Regal today at Bloodsport?
Yeah, I did.
I really liked it. I like it because I love seeing William Regal out scouting. I think it is the greatest thing ever. And also, it was fun to see Dean Ambrose be like interested in something, which is something I've missed since his return. Basically, like I haven't seen him look so intent at something and like actually look happy to be someplace in a long time. So it was nice to be like, oh yeah, you're probably definitely leaving. Like, that is not the look of somebody who's like, oh, I definitely don't miss doing that. That's the look of somebody who's like, can't wait to do that one more time.
But also, if you think about it, eventually a William Regal-esque role for Dean Ambrose could be fucking great.
Oh, absolutely. I think that might be part of why WWE is like, let him go. Like, release him. He wants to go. He doesn't want to re-sign. We're going to have this statement that we wish him the best and just immediately say that we want him to come back in whatever capacity later. I think that's kind of the idea, maybe, is like, treat him with goodwill. Let him go do he had said before, all he wants to do is like one more like death match and then retire after WWE. So that's possibly what he wants. Like, let him go. Let him do his last match. Have him retire. Let him take a couple years off and not hate wrestling anymore, and then come back in a William Regal-esque role. I think that that's a great use of him, and maybe something he would be more interested in if he wasn't burnt the fuck out all the time.
I would love to see that. I mean, William Regal, you know, has been on the edge, it seems like, for a while. So
yeah, he had a couple health scares last year, I think.
So, I mean, it's smart for them to be lining up potentials, even if this is like, obviously, this is pure conjecture, but it would be cool.
Yeah, definitely.
What if the inmates ran the asylum?
Oh, man.
All right. Well, we have approximately 100 matches to talk about. So I guess we should get going.
Yeah. In our pre-show meeting, we were like, what are we talking about? Literally just the WrestleMania card. That's it. We have nothing else to talk about.
WWE Cruiserweight Champion Buddy Murphy versus Tony Nese in a kickoff.
Buddy Murphy.
Honestly, let him have it forever. Let him have it until 205 Live gets canceled.
Move him up to the main roster and have him be like, let's women's title this belt, throw it in the trash. Here I am, baby.
Again, I've been saying I want to catch up on things for so long. I'm actually catching up on Impact and NXT. Like, I'm actually going back and watching the ones from, like, that I missed. Mm-hmm. My grand plan was to catch up on the 205 Live that I missed. But, like, it's literally been since the Australia show. So, like, I'm going to go ahead and say a no to that.
No.
But I think after Mania, especially because I don't have a Tuesday night class anymore, I'm going to start watching 205 Live again.
Yeah, it's a reset button. That's the whole deal with WrestleMania.
Honestly, yeah, WrestleMania is my personal reset button for rewatching. Because
I think it's the company reset button too.
I know, but I'm saying I'm also using it as a personal one. Also because, like, I fucking love Buddy Murphy. I am, like, so sexually charged for this man. I love his wrestling. I've been using that phrase sexually charged a lot. Like, and that's, like, the way that I'm telling you that I'm thirsty, and me, like, I'm thirsty. I'm like, I am sexually charged.
You're using grad school words. It's cool. We get it.
Whatever. I used it because me and my dad, I didn't talk about this, but my dad came into town.
What a weird transition that was that I was not expecting.
Oh, because I just said sexually charged. And be like, my dad came into town, very sexy, not sexy at all. Though, hilariously, one of our listeners, hi, I'm calling you out, came up to me and my dad at Shimmer and was like, it was the intermission, so between tapings, and was like, hey, Saul, like, I love the podcast or whatever. I don't know if he said that. I'm putting words in his mouth. I assume he likes the podcast. and he was like, I'm actually leaving and we're in the second row. If you want to take our seats, feel free. And I was like, I made fun of him because I was like, oh, you can't handle a full day of Shimmer. And he was like, absolutely no way. And I was like, I get it. It's fair. and then he was like, oh, is this your soon to be husband? And I was like, nah, bro, this my dad. And he was like, and I was like, it's okay. And then later he tweeted me and was like, to be fair, if I had asked you, is this your husband or is this your dad? And it was your soon to be husband. I feel like that would have been weirder.
That is super fair. And I agree. Like,
you know what? Fair.
That's super, super fair. your dad is so funny. He leaned over to me at one point. You can cut this if you want, but he leaned over to me at one point and he was like, hey, are you going to Shimmer tomorrow? And I was like, no, I have to go to the suburbs tomorrow to see Mike's family. And he was like, oh, I don't have any weed with me. And Stella told me maybe you could hook me up. I was like, I'm so sorry. If I had known, I would have brought stuff that I could give you here, but I, like, don't have anything I can give you and I won't be here tomorrow. I was like, I really wish I had known, because yes, absolutely. I'm glad that you know that about me and feel comfortable asking me.
Oh my God, the thing that makes me mad though is, like, I told him, I was like, if you need something, because my dad has PTSD and, like, you know, if you've ever been to a Shimmer taping, it's at an Eagles club. It's, like, very intensely small. Like, it can be an intense experience. Like, for the Rise show, like, there was a guy behind us, a photographer taking photos, but he was, like, hovering behind my dad, and, like, my dad got a little agitated. Like, for the Shimmer show, thankfully, I bought tickets where our back was on the wall. But so, like, I told him, I was like, if you need something, like, let me know in advance, because, like, my podcast partner and friend can, like, probably get it for you. And then he didn't tell me in advance. He was like, oh, do you have XXX? And I was like, no, brah, I don't do any of that. And you did not tell me in advance. But anyways, my dad was in town for the Rise show, which he fucking loved. He loved it so much. He, like, couldn't stop talking about it. And then he wanted to do a Shimmer day. And I kept being like, Dad, I don't know, man. I love Shimmer truly from the, like, bottom of my heart. I truly love it. But, like, going to a full day, 8-hour taping can be very intense. And I was like, Dad, I don't know. And my dad was a great sport and had a good time. The first Shimmer taping was fine. There were a couple good matches. It started off kind of slow. It was typical Shimmer, right? But the second show, whoa, boy, was fucking good. And my dad was like, also my dad got a picture with Rosemary. And
I thought it was like so adorable.
A 4-year-old. And it was so cute. Also, like, intermissions at Shimmer can be intense. And I was like trying to like hover and like protect his back. And I think my dad accidentally creeped out one of the wrestlers because he like needed to be by the wall. But like the wall is where their merch is. So I think the girls were like, why is this giant? Because my dad is also like 6'4". Like, why is this giant weird dude just standing? And I was like, I wanted to be like, he's not being creepy. He's freaked out right now. But Rosemary was really nice, and he like really loves Session Moth Martina and like talked to her.
Of course.
He was like, man, she's got like a lot of followers on Twitter, because my dad exclusively follows, he follows me on Twitter and Cage Side on Twitter and a bunch of wrestlers and a bunch of porn stars.
That's the daddest Twitter of all time.
It's kind of amazing. But my dad, like, here's the thing. My dad got back into wrestling kind of because I got back into wrestling. And then he was, like, really all in on WWE because, like, that's what you do. And then I told him, I was like, Dad, like, WWE kind of sucks. And then he started watching NXT and was like, wow, NXT is so much better. And I was like, yeah, that's, like, the whole point of NXT. But my dad is getting very into independent wrestling. And my dad is very into women's wrestling, and not in like a creepy dad way. My dad is into women's wrestling. Like, he loves Jordan Grace. He loves Rosemary. He like sends me screenshots of like matches from like indie shows that he's like, oh, this seems really cool. And like, he watches, my dad watches Impact every single week. My dad watches WOW every week. Like, my dad is, he tried to watch New Japan and was like, I just watch WOW. And I was like, yes, yes.
Right. Oh my god, he needs to be like our Impact correspondent.
He's like, my dad is very rough around the edges, can be, because like, you know, like military, whatever, but like, he is like weirdly into women's wrestling, but not in like a Shimmer way. Like, we went to Shimmer and there's like some dudes there who are like collectors and like have everybody's signatures and have been to every Shimmer show and like whatever, to each his own. And my dad was like, wow, there are a lot of weird dudes here.
It's funny because when Michael and I were at Rise the night before, we were waiting to leave and we were all kind of like hovering by the wall waiting for people to like get together and see who was leaving when. And Michael leans over to me and basically said the same thing. And he was like, is there something about these shows that attracts like weird dudes?
And I was like, yeah, the word is female.
Yes. Yes. And so when you said that to me, he and I were sitting next to each other. And so I showed it to him and he was like, thank you. That's what I was saying. So he was not alone.
Is way worse than Rise, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Rise really isn't even that bad. Like, no. It's the normal wrestling creeps, I think.
Traditional wrestling creeps.
Yeah, you got your traditional wrestling creeps.
But if you want Shimmer, I think it was Shimmer 111. I don't know. I'll go back and look at the number, but there was a match between Shotzi Blackheart and Su Yung that was fucking so good.
Awesome.
So good. Anyways, awesome. Back to WrestleMania. Buddy Murphy section. Oh, what I was saying. Totally out of. Okay. Hudson Envy came back from an injury, right? And I fucking love Hudson Envy. And
yeah, then she's like, great.
I tweeted, I'm so sexually charged for Hudson Envy. And that's the beginning of that. And now I'm just sexually charged for everybody, but not everybody, just Hudson Envy and Buddy Murphy, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, fair. Okay. You have a type, I guess.
Yeah. Like broad and scary.
Yes, absolutely.
Rachel Hudson's tattoos are dope and I love her. I'm so glad she's back from injury.
Ugh. Yes, I agree.
Hudson Envy for life.
Yes.
Anyways, moving on.
All right. We've a million more to do.
Women's Battle Royale featuring Asuka. LOL.
LOL. Yo. I don't care. I'm so mad.
So like what? What if, so Asuka, I think, is probably the favorite to win, but like, so what? What happens?
Does she get to challenge for her own motherfucking title again? Like,
literally nothing happens when you win this. Remember when Naomi won it and then fuck all happened? Nothing happens when you win this, bitch.
Yep. Sure do. I sure do remember that.
Give it to Lana. Cute new haircut. Fuck it. Who cares?
I don't even know who else is in it, to be honest. Like, all of the women on SmackDown basically are on this.
You know who should win this, though, for realsies? Ruby Riott.
Yeah. I would be really happy if Ruby won it. I think that she has earned it, for sure. Although, at the same time, she's on Raw, and so it seems like another big fuck you to the SmackDown women.
You know what? Whatever. I mean, I get what you're saying, but, like, I just feel like Ruby has like eaten shit a bunch, but also like still is the strongest of her group and still puts on fucking great matches. And like, they need to plan for the future. It can't all be the story that we've been mired in. Like, fucking Ruby Riott, man. That's who should win it.
Maybe have Ruby Riott win it and then in the Superstar Shakeup go to SmackDown and fight Asuka.
I mean, who doesn't want to see Ruby Riott fight Asuka? Because I do.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be all super of my into that. Soul. All right. Yeah, let's do that. I'm in.
Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Bunch of dudes. We're going to have a terrible spot with the SNL guys. So fun.
Great. Awesome.
Love some SNL. Actually, SNL is the worst, but whatever. Why is Kate McKinnon still there is what I want to know.
Why is who?
Kate McKinnon still there.
Oh, I don't know.
She don't need it.
She does not need it. That's a fact.
I'm going to guess either Braun Strowman or Mustafa Ali.
Yeah, I was going to say Braun Strowman too. That's my guess.
But Mustafa Ali got like the bitch kicked out of him. They took away his first name and then they were like, that's where all of his power was. Now he's just like a regular jobber now.
Poor Ali. Yeah, it'll probably come down to him and Braun Strowman and then he'll almost win and then Braun will win.
So the Usos are being punished for being legit ass dudes.
I saw they re-signed. I was really surprised by that.
Well, they re-signed, but then so like the last week, remember they like forfeited. So Kofi, so Xavier and Big E could win the thing for Kofi. And so Alexa Bliss, the host of WrestleMania, is punishing the Usos for being, you know, decent dudes, I guess.
fair.
And so now they're in a fatal four-way. So it's Andrade and Ricochet, the Usos, the Bar, and Rusev and Nakamura for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships.
All right. Cool.
Well, Alistair and Ricochet are definitely going to lose to War Machine. 100%.
Even though they won the Dusty Tag Classic? 100%.
These motherfuckers are main roster now. Period. End of story.
Yeah.
You're main roster now. And War Machine has only had these belts for a hot ass second, and they actually haven't been on TV that much. Like War Machine needs to win over these main roster guys and needs to remind people why they're the tag champs. And then Alistair and Ricochet need to GTFO out of NXT. So I think Alistair and Ricochet could fucking pick up these belts because it could be like, it could be one of those we lost last night situations, but we won today situations.
That's a good observation. Man, it's so weird that they're a tag team. I just still am like,
the worst.
It's so bizarre. Like, it's like Joe and...
So bizarre.
It's like when Joe and Finn won the first Dusty Classic, where it's like, but you're not a tag team. Why did this happen?
Remember how the Dusty Classic is kind of a joke?
Although the Dusty Classic is the reason that DIY exists. Like, they were not...
That's true.
They were not independent. They were not like singles wrestlers ever, basically, because they only came in to do the Dusty Classic, which is weird.
Well, they came in to do the Cruiserweight Classic, and then they were as singles wrestlers. And then they were like, we like you guys. You should
do
some more stuff. And then they did a bunch of independent like contractor work, and then they got signed and got smooshed together.
Yeah, that's right. You're right.
Or something like that.
That sounds vaguely right. I agree. That
sounds right. Grad school. So my new teacher, not the one I'm teaching for, but the other regular grad class I'm having, he said, if you care, or if you're one of those people that cares about your grade but doesn't care about learning, then just like do the work and turn things in on time. But if you genuinely care about your grade, or if you genuinely care about learning, like, and don't care about your grade, like, I get it. And I was like, wait. So I do all the work and I'm learning to get the A, but I'm somehow kind of like an asshole for learning and wanting an A. But then these other people are slacking, but they're, quote, hands-on learning. So they're like better than me. Like, I was like, what? Yeah, I want the A, but I'm also willing to do the work and learn. What are you talking about? How are you a professor?
That's super weird.
I got real mad, real heated behind my computer.
I don't blame you.
He did call me his favorite in the class already, and it was one day, so no big deal. I'm a kiss ass.
You're the worst.
I just asked two questions, and nobody else asked a question, and I think he just wanted somebody to talk to him.
Fair.
international, intercontinental champion Bobby Lashley versus the Demon Finn Balor.
Well, obviously it's going to be the Demon because the Demon's undefeated, right?
I don't remember, but also remember, okay, even if I don't like Finn Balor, I can admit that there was a time when the Demon was pretty cool.
Yeah.
In NXT, this guy was cool. Even when he had a weird chainsaw and like was doing, he was cool, right? Mm-hmm. We got excited for the Demon because the Demon like came and we're like, oh, whoa, cool. The Demon on the main roster is a fucking clown. He has his face paint and he's a fucking clown. First of all, why are you going to announce that it's the Demon? Isn't it way more, isn't it a WrestleMania moment if it's a shock and everyone's like, fuck yeah, Demon? Even if everyone knew, like, he's probably going to be the Demon. Like, isn't that better than just being like, you're going to face the Demon, bitch? That sucks. And also, the thing on Raw, when he transformed into the Demon and then just stuck his tongue out and like hissed into the camera, was some of the corniest shit I've ever seen, and just like really reinforced my opinions about Finn Balor. To quote Gina from Cage Side Seats, man, this really is a show for children.
I mean, it is actually a show for children, so that's part of it.
I know, but sometimes you are reminded like, oh, this is a show for children. And in those moments when Finn Balor has his face paint on and is just waggling his tongue out, yeah, this is a show for kids.
Absolutely. It's funny because it's like, I think that that is true, that it worked in ways on NXT that it doesn't work here. And I think it's because the show is for children here and was not for children on NXT. Like, it's understood that the audience is generally not children for that. So I think that's part of why they leaned into it in a more productive way in NXT.
Oh, who's going to win?
Oh, the Demon. I already said that because he's undefeated.
Yeah. Demon, whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Finn Balor, even though I like Bobby Lashley more. Nick, who only really watches wrestling casually because of me, got so mad at me yesterday because I said I like Bobby Lashley more than Finn Balor. And he was like, you're just saying that to be contrary. That's not a real opinion. How could you? And he got so mad. And I was like, listen, I genuinely like Bobby Lashley more than Finn Balor. Please stop being so angry about it.
He turned into an internet dude on you.
He really did.
Your opinion is wrong. And I'm going to tell you why.
Oh, just because you don't like the coup de grace? Oh. And I was like, calm down, please.
You poisoned him. You created that monster.
Roman Reigns versus Drew Boo. It's going to be Roman Reigns. But yeah, I think this match is going to be legit as hell.
Yeah, I think it will actually be good. Truthfully, I really hope it's not at the end of the card. I think it's a better place to be at the beginning. And because it will be good and people should be allowed to have the exhaustion capacity to deal with this match, I think.
Yeah, I hope it's one of the first ones, to be honest.
It would be a really good opener. Like, look who's back, everybody. It's Roman.
I think SmackDown tag match is going to be the opener, but I think this would be a good follower.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like they open with tag matches a lot.
Yeah, it's better to open with something that's kind of multi-man that can kind of be a little looser because they're kind of anticipating that people are not tuning in right away on time.
Yeah, for sure. Kurt Angle versus Baron Corbin and Kurt Angle's farewell match.
Okay, so he's... Yeah. So he's going to immediately beat Baron Corbin and then he's going to wrestle John Cena?
Yeah, I guess.
Like, cool, I guess. Whatever. I think it'll be fun to watch Kurt Angle and John Cena wrestle for like 3 minutes.
Yeah. I love Kurt Angle, but like it's Undertaker level where I'm like, I am going to watch you die in this ring.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I can't watch that question mark shaped man do this for much longer. It really freaks me out. Though John Cena will take care of him in a way that, like, I don't know that I trust many other people to. So that at least is good.
United States champion Samoa Joe versus Rey Mysterio, who is maybe injured?
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is with that. Is this just to build up the storyline? Is he actually injured?
You know what? John Cena.
I agree. I agree. He beats Kurt Angle and then just refuses to get out of the ring. And he's like, you know what? I'm in the next match too.
United States Open Championship. And then Samoa Joe comes out and goes, that's not how this works. I am the champion. I'm the one that calls the Open Championship. And he's like, no, no, no. I'm a United States champion for life.
I make the rules. Also, he could be like, you know what? Rey Mysterio is injured and I'm your opponent now.
You know what? I'm Rey Mysterio now.
He just puts a mask on. It's like Cole Cabana playing Matt Classic. Like, we all know what's going on here.
Correct. Or at the end of Kurt Angle's match, John Cena gets under the ring and then comes out with a mask on.
Yes. I'm in.
AJ Styles versus a snake.
I want to see AJ take an RKO but not lose.
When does Randy Orton lose?
When does AJ Styles lose?
People are out here on these streets being like, John Cena never loses. John Cena's blah, blah, blah. John Cena ruined careers. John Cena this and that. You know who the real bad guy is in all this? Randy Orton.
Randy Orton lost to Seth Rollins.
Fuck Randy Orton.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Randy Orton destroyed Bray Wyatt's career.
Yeah.
You know what? John Cena and Randy Orton, like, double-handedly. I don't know how you say single-handedly for two people, but whatever that phrase is.
In tandem. Bray Wyatt.
In tandem, John Cena and John Cena and Randy Orton in tandem ruin Swamp Monster's career. But yes. He's got a baby with like a hot lady now, so like whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Man. What a life.
When am I gonna get Swamp Wife, the reality show?
Oh no. Oh no.
We got Miz and Mrs., the greatest television show of all time. The greatest reality television show of all time. Maybe the greatest thing to come out of WWE, frankly.
Even better than the Total Divas, Total Bellas?
Yes.
I mean, as a whole. I don't necessarily mean the latest seasons. Yes. We get some gems from the first Total Divas seasons.
That's true, because they didn't know what they were doing. So here's the thing. Total Divas, the good stuff from the beginning, is because it was like wild card. Nobody knows what's going on. Reality show, crazy shit's happening, whatever, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The great thing about Miz and Mrs. is because it is a perfect blend of like, reality show stuff, but because Miz and Maryse are so aware of themselves and of what reality TV is, it makes the like scriptedness of reality TV almost so obvious that it becomes fun again. And it's so still, it's like a sitcom almost.
It's absolutely
reality TV sitcom, and it's fucking great.
Yes, that's such a good way to describe it. And I think the format of 30 minutes really lends itself to that as
absolutely.
Well. Like that like bite-sized amount that's like, yes, absolutely. I could not deal with this for an hour, but 24 minutes of this is perfect.
Yeah. I love Miz and Mrs. so much. Anyways, Randy Orton wins.
I'm calling AJ Styles. I think it's going to be AJ Styles.
I do not agree.
I think they're going to do some kind of crazy, like, phenomenal forearm into an RKO move that
somehow already did that like six times. They didn't even save it for WrestleMania. It's so stupid. The RKO sucks, but
yeah, I guess that's true. I don't know. I still say AJ Styles.
Here's the thing. Is the RKO occasionally super fucking cool? Yeah. But that occasion is very small, actually. It is out of nowhere. Maybe, and this is being generous, maybe 10% of the time.
That is super generous.
That is, I know. And 10% is not a generous number, but in this case, super generous.
Super generous.
Anyways,
large margin of error.
Fuck Randy Orton forever. Mm-hmm. WWE Women's Tag Team Champions Bayley and Sasha versus Beth Phoenix and Natalya versus The Iconics versus Nia Jax and Tamina.
Oh, man. I don't know. I think it's going to be The Iconics because they have to put a women's belt on that show.
Right? Here's the thing. Before they made the main event, winner gets both champions, I would have bet everything in my house that Sasha and Bayley would walk out with that belt. Mm-hmm. Because they wanted the image of the four horsewomen with belts. But the moment they were like, both titles on the line, I was like, oh, fair game. Give it to The Iconics.
Absolutely.
But also, it is such a new division. I can see both. Give it to The Iconics because you need a women's belt, but you also like The Iconics like kick ass and really deserve it. And like also The Iconics are great. But also, it's such a new division. I could see leaving it on Sasha and Bayley. And also Sasha always loses on like her first defense, and like maybe you want to break away from that.
I mean, do they want to break away from that? Maybe not. But and I mean, Bayley usually loses pretty quickly when she has a title too.
Well,
but
she did it with NXT. She did it with the Raw champion.
Right, right. I mean, up on the main roster. I don't know. I feel like we have to think of WrestleMania as a 5-day event, and it's not over until SmackDown is over, basically. Like, there's a lot of, honestly, maybe not even until, well, no, because they do the pre-show of NXT. So, yeah, not until, like, SmackDown is over on Tuesday is WrestleMania really over. So I feel like Charlotte and Becky have already gone to Raw. They do not need Sasha and Bayley there. And what better reason to move them over to SmackDown than to chase the Iconics for the belts that they want back? Like, that seems like a really good way to shake up that division, actually, and make Raw more about the singles titles and SmackDown more about the tag team division, because basically all of the women on SmackDown were running as tag teams anyway. I think that's why they truly did not know what to do with Asuka, because the Mandy Rose thing wasn't going over in the way that they thought it was going to. Surprise to almost no one except Vince, I guess. And they spent everyone else on there competing for these tag team belts that did not end up on SmackDown, and they just had no fucking clue what to do with any of these women, and they just floundered. And so they just ran out of ideas, and they didn't want it to be Carmella because she's involved in these scandals. That's total speculation, but like, she did have several like kind of like thrown at her all at once, and so I feel like that's part of maybe why they didn't commit to it at the time when it would have been necessary to commit to it to really make a WrestleMania story build happen. So they just ran out of shit to do, and so that's why they took it off of Asuka. Like, it's not her fault at all, but maybe it would be better to move her over to Raw and have her compete in a single scene and have the division for the tag champions shift over to SmackDown. But who the fuck knows? Like, they could do anything with it. I think part of it is, like, I know that a shakeup is coming because it always comes after WrestleMania. Right. And so it's like,
because that's what happens.
Right, exactly. And so you kind of have to think, like, they need reasons to move things around. And I cannot think of a better reason to move those two people. Like, Charlotte and Becky are gone. Like, it doesn't really matter that one of them is probably going to win the SmackDown women's title. Like, they're probably going to lose it right away. They'll keep the Raw title, but they'll like lose the SmackDown one or whatever. They'll unify them. There's no proof that's actually going to happen, but it like feels like a terrible decision that they're just ripe to make at WWE. So who knows?
As much as I love Sasha and Bayley, and I do really love them as the tag champs, like, fucking, I want the Iconics to have it.
I do too.
And they've been killing it lately.
They're great. They're really good. Peyton's hair has grown on me. I still, again, I like it.
She looks like a Barbie. She literally looks like a Barbie.
She does look like a new Bratz doll more than a Barbie.
Malibu Barbie.
I still really think that it was a good idea because it's way easier to tell them apart for a new audience that they want to like immediately be able to tell them apart who didn't know them from NXT. But it still is like really weird.
Billy's the really funny one.
I mean, they're both funny, but also
Billy's the really funny one.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
Thank you. Shane McMahon versus The Miz in a Falls Count Anywhere match. I think The Miz win.
Yeah,
right. Like, they're pushing this babyface thing, which is working because Miz is fucking a genius, and it's like Miz is truly so good at this like sports entertainment thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, he fundamentally has like an understanding of entertainment and the entertainment business in a way that is like actually kind of shocking. Like, he grew up in like a random ass town in like Ohio, and his dad is like a blue collar whatever, and he was like, no, bitch, I'm gonna go to Hollywood and I'm gonna fucking dominate.
Like, I think it's so funny that he wanted to be a professional wrestler, and he wound up on the real world because he wanted to be a professional wrestler.
He literally announced it on TV and was like, yeah, I'm here just
for wrestling. He was like, I'm gonna manifest this shit into the world. And it's like there was no way to know at the time that he was on the real world that, one, it was ever going to work and that he was going to make it. And that being on the real world would give him experience in the way that's like –
he wasn't like, I'm going to be a wrestler. It's my dream. So I'm going to like grind on the indies and this, that, and the other thing. He was like, nah, I'm going to be a wrestler. I'm going to learn how to do the weird reality TV aspect.
Yeah.
Of it. Because like wrestling was kind of reality TV before there was reality TV. And I'm gonna do that, and I'm gonna learn how to like work an audience.
Yeah. And like he had the, I don't know if it was foresight. I'm sure part of it is foresight, and part of it is just like wild blind luck that like things shifted to such an internet-centric culture that focuses on that kind of like having that engagement with your audience is even more important in the way that wrestling works now. And like no one was better poised for that transition than Miz was. And like that's just fucking luck. Like he truly was at the forefront of being on that switch. And like in some ways, I think Zack Ryder is kind of like that, where he like embraced the internet and found a fan base that has kept him employed even in the shadow realm for a really long time. And like he embraced podcasting in a way that I think was really smart for someone who like understands how to brand. And like I think they're both really, really good examples of people who were like, I've loved this my whole life and I see that this is going into a place, and then just got very lucky that it actually worked out that way.
I love Babyface Miz in a way
Yeah.
that I did not anticipate. He's a dad. He's got a fun reality show. Like, fuck yeah, Miz. Because
Absolutely.
when somebody is so good at being a heel, you're like, yeah, that's the one thing that they can do. Because honestly, there are not a lot of wrestlers that can do both.
No,
Daniel
not at
Bryan can
all.
do both, and AJ Styles can do both, and Miz can do both.
New Day can do both.
New Day can do both. Trying to think like of a female superstar who's really good at doing both.
Sienna, Allison Knight is good at both.
Allison K.
Veda Scott is really good at both.
Allison K.
Allison K, sorry.
It's okay. Beta is good at both, though. She's kind of always a heel.
Not always. She teamed up with Alley Cat at WrestleMania weekend this week, and she's a baby face.
Yeah, but Beta, I still feel like Beta's still kind of always a heel, even if she's a heel you cheer for.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm trying to think. It's hard. There actually, like, I feel like aren't a lot of women at
Allie.
least at WWE.
Allie is really good at both. She was really good at being like,
I would say she's fine at that. I did not love Demon Alley.
I like her as a, not necessarily even as a demon, just as like a bad guy. I think that she's good at that. Chelsea Green, Britt Baker, both very good at both.
Britt Baker is very good at both. I will. Britt Baker and Sienna are the two that I will absolutely concede. Who, but like at WWE, can you think of anybody?
I don't know. There's just not a lot of people who are really good at being baby faces. Cesaro is really good at both.
Nikki Cross is good at both.
Nikki Cross is definitely good at both.
Nikki Cross is good at both. And she is, yeah. You know, we've
Asuka.
never seen the Iconics try and be faces, but I feel like they could.
I feel like eventually they will be.
Carmella, good at both.
Good at both, definitely.
Yeah. See, it's doable.
Yeah, that's true.
We did it.
We did, we're good for us.
Good for us. Triple H versus Batista in the most photoshopped photo of Triple H I have ever seen. His head does not match this body. I do not know what the fuck they did to this photo, but Batista looks normal and Triple H looks insane. It's like fucked up when you can tell if a photo is heavily photoshopped. This is like some Britney Spears bullshit where they like put her head on a different body. No holds barred match with Triple H's career on the line.
Oh, so Triple H is definitely gonna win.
Yeah, like when would why would they let why would Batista win? Why?
Yeah, that's so stupid.
In what galaxy would Batista win? Get it? Also, how many sunglasses does this man own?
Oh, thousands. He's the Elton John of sunglasses.
Isn't Elton John the Elton John of sunglasses?
No, Elton John is the Elton John of glasses.
Oh, just regular glasses.
Regular glasses, yes, exactly. Prescription, it's different.
Well, you don't know if Batista's sunglasses are prescription or not.
He treats them in a way that they are disposable that makes me believe they are not prescription.
I guess that's fair. Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship.
Man, I don't know. I want
I
it to
don't
be
fucking
Seth.
know. I have no fucking idea. I would place money on almost every match except for this one.
I truly don't know. Like, I really, really want it to be Seth, but
But it feels like been there, done that. We've been on this road before. It makes sense. Why would you have it on this fucking meat sack of a man? And yet, and also with Roman being back, it's like, do they want Roman to have his redemption story where he wins it back from Brock?
I want Seth to win it and turn heel and fight Roman. That would be way better since
Yes,
Dean is leaving.
Duh, that would be way better. Better. Remember how Seth is so good at being a heel and only like at being a face?
Yeah, right. Like he was not on our list of can do both because it's not.
He was not on
great.
That list.
No, twas not.
I don't know. I think it's going to be Brock. I just can't vote against, in the same way that I can't vote against Randy, I can't vote against Brock because like those people should lose and yet.
I'm taking a chance. I'm going Seth. I really hope that it's Seth.
You know what? I would love to be wrong.
I hope you're wrong too.
WWE champion, the new Daniel Bryan versus Kofi Kingston.
Oh my God. What would happen if they didn't give it to Kofi?
Kofi motherfucking mania. If it doesn't, you know what? I don't know the order of these cards, but if this is like before the main event, if Kofi doesn't win, it fully ruins the main event.
100%.
Will be fucked up and will not be. I don't think that they would put that, especially if they're going to make such a controversial opinion or decision. I don't think that they will put it near the women's match, but like, Yo.
Yeah.
Also, there are only three women's matches on this like million match card. Just a casual reminder that even when we get something, we get nothing.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
One step forward, five
Two steps back. Oh, five steps back.
That's the WWE model.
Yeah. It's really
Kofi,
unfortunate.
Kofi.
Yeah, I hope it's Kofi. Also, like, this belt is definitely not going on after Brock Lesnar.
Put
like,
the wood on Kofi.
Yeah, put the wood on Kofi for sure. Man, okay. People are going to lose their mind if he loses.
I just can't imagine. Why would you do all that work?
Did you watch the – this is something – I'm going to briefly interrupt with this. Did you watch the John Oliver segment about WWE from last week tonight?
I didn't. We usually watch Last Week Tonight every week, but I've just been busy this week because the quarter started. But I am aware of everything.
It was really good. I would recommend watching it. I normally don't watch Last Week Tonight.
Why? Because it's a fucking great show.
Oh, it's just one of those things that like I'm not good at committing to weekly television right now. So I just don't. Not that I don't enjoy it. I just don't watch it regularly. But I saw that had happened, so I was like, oh, well, I have HBO Go. I'll just watch it because his show's not that long. I know it's only the back half of it. And I really enjoyed it. And also, like, he was encouraging people to make signs and chant about healthcare and shit. And, like, I cannot imagine a crowd that's already riled up by that is going to be super receptive of Kofi losing. And so it feels like even more poised for, like, do you want to start a riot? Because it feels like you're going to get a riot.
Who
That's
is
bad.
Gonna start a riot? That's from the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse soundtrack. It's the second best soundtrack of all time.
What's the best soundtrack of all time?
Charlie's Angels, the original. It's amazing.
Ooh, the original
Charlie's Angels movie has such a fucking good soundtrack.
Back-to-back bangers all the way up and down that album. It's so good.
It's so good. And like... It's like some 70s stuff. It's some like 90s, 80s. Fucking Sir Mix-a-Lot is on there. Destiny's Child is on there. Fatboy Slim.
It's great.
It's got
That's
some
a really good
weird
answer.
Ass songs, but then it's like, you know, Tangerine Speedo and fucking.
It's like a great party mix. It's the perfect album to like put on in the background.
It's. I was like, I was in the kitchen because again, lunch lady, glorified lunch lady, kitchen manager, whatever. I was in the kitchen this morning and I was listening to that and I was like dancing and jamming and it was like a hot breakfast today. And I was like, shit, I got to take this shit out of the oven. And I like kind of burnt some of it because I was so focused on my dancing.
That's your priorities are in the right place.
But the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse soundtrack is so fucking good. And there's one song called Who in Here Trying to Start a Riot.
Nice.
And it's great. Nice. Or maybe it's called Trying to Start a Riot. Whatever. It's got the word riot in it.
Okay, I believe you.
All right, we've come to our main event. I am going to secret this shit. It's Becky. Becky, 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 Becky. Everybody, if we all, on the count of three, if we all say it out loud, the secret will work. Ready? One, two, three. Becky Lynch. Aaron.
I said Becky. All you said was Becky.
Okay, we'll do it again. Ready? One, two, three. Becky Lynch.
There, we gave you two options.
We all have to do it. We have to secret it into the world.
Yep.
Yep,
that's it. You know what? I don't even want to think negatively about it. I think this is going to be a really great match. I think that Becky and Charlotte are going to bust ass. I think that Ronda will probably elevate in a way that she has not before because she literally has to. And if she has to take a Roman nap for 20 minutes, I'm fucking cool with that. That's fine with me. It would be a decision to give it to Charlotte. I hope that they don't do that, but I don't know. I feel like they're going to give it to Becky. Like, maybe that's me trying to secret into the universe as well, but it does feel like, man, they should really do that.
It feels like.
I hope they sweep it. I hope that, like, I hope Seth and Kofi and Becky all win it because that's what people want. And they're like trying to say that the fans are in charge and that they're letting people make decisions. And they're like trying to make radical decisions to keep demographics in. Like, give people what they want. This is like a perfect time to do that, to like really surprise people and give them what they've been asking for. So I'm interested to see if they do it. And I'm like, I know I'm being optimistic thinking it will be all of these people, but I think it's going to be Becky.
I think Becky and Kofi are for sure. And Seth is the wild card. But I agree with you. And the funny thing is, too, is like it's tricky with like this type of writing, right? And reality writing or whatever. Mm-hmm. Because you walk this fine line of like read the audience, give the audience what they want, like placate to your audience, whatever. But you also want to make like surprising, controversial decisions here and there to like, you know, create storylines, this, that, and the other thing. But that's like nuance. And that requires like craftsmanship and like long-term planning, all of these things that WWE is tragically bad at.
Yeah.
So it seems like in this moment, because they have made so many fucking crazy missteps and because there have been some like storyline, like fucking up injuries and like things that are out of WWE's control, it isn't out of their control if they didn't like run these people like fucking workhorses,
yeah,
and like indentured fucking servants, then like maybe it would be a different story. But it feels like they've like swerved us in like a weird internet troll way so much over the past couple years that like in this moment, it is actually okay and actually gonna be surprising if you just give us what we want.
Exactly. Totally. 100%. And I also feel like they really want the image of people cheering their product right now. Like, they've had a lot of really bad press.
And Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. And this John Oliver piece, like, it's, they need to appease people. And I think that the image of what they want is people who will stay hooked for their weekly programming. And if you have people who only tune in for WrestleMania, and then you see fans flipping out at how excited they are that these people won the belt, even if you're not familiar with their storylines, that will pull you in to be like, why are people so crazy for these people? Like, if everyone's booing, sometimes that'll hook you because you can understand, like, this is a heel and I'm being worked. But if, like, everybody's booing for every match, like, that's not a good look. And I think WWE gets that. And I think you are right about them being so trolly so many times that like it would be truly surprising to actually give us what we want.
Also, because there's like, this is my like dumb like grad school talking coming in, but there's like actually like an art to trolling where you like the birth of trolling came from people like trying to one up each other and trying to make like clever digs and like things like that. Like, the birth of trolling was like based in like being like obnoxiously clever, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But like it's turned into like drivel and just like being a cunt. But WWE has done some trolling stuff that is really clever. Like the fucking Brock Lesnar breaking the streak. That is a clever ass troll, right? That is a clever ass troll. Just having Brock win it now is like a shit troll. Like, if you're going to do it well.
Yeah, definitely. All right. I mean, that's asking a lot of them. We know.
I got nothing else to say.
I have nothing else to say, too. We've got questions that we forgot to do last week. We cannot forget to do those. But overall, how are you excited about this, like, 8-hour disaster we have ahead of us?
I'm excited for it to be over.
Yeah.
Is the way I'm living most of my life right now.
Yeah, Yeah, I would agree with that. I just want to know what, like, I just want it to be done so I can know where they're going. I know everything's going to change on the Monday and Tuesday afterwards, but I just kind of want to know, like, what is the button that you want to push to start this year off, this year, quote unquote, this season. All right, this is from Joe Zantek. With your boycott of WWE, are there any parts of their program you miss, or does avoiding the 1 to 8 hours of scheduled programming that you can now be doing other things with more than make up for whatever you're missing? Also, any more Sailor Moon updates? Should I stop asking, or has it become a regular segment yet? He also sent a follow-up to this one. The first question was for Aaron, though I'm sure that's obvious. I just forgot to write it. So that was very funny. I'll answer the first one, obviously. I miss 205 Live, and I miss NXT. I miss NXT a lot, actually. I'm still following it because I'm like paying attention to the storylines, but I'm not really watching much of it. Sailor Moon updates, Stella? It's
Oh, okay. So here's my Sailor Moon updates.
Oh,
I
I'm
am
ready.
through.
Stella, I was not listening. I was just waiting to talk about Sailor Moon. I'm ready.
I was finding questions on Twitter, but fuck you. I was.
It's fine. I wasn't judging you. I thought it was very funny.
Okay. Sailor Moon updates. So on Hulu, the Viz dub, which is what I've been watching. I don't fuck around with subs. I get it. It's more authentic, whatever. I appreciate that, but this is the first anime I'm into. And like, here's the thing. I will watch subs for like a 2-hour-long movie. I can't be watching and paying attention to subs for 225-minute episodes. That's how dare you.
No.
So I've been watching the Viz dub because I didn't grow up with the Deke dub. And if you didn't grow up with the Deke dub, then like it's not fun. So I've been watching the Viz dub, and the Viz dub on Hulu only goes through Super S. So no, only goes through S. So I am through Sailor Moon S. Very good. Love the Death Busters. Was a fantastic season. Obviously, sexually charged for Uranus. Obs, right? Also, the sound that like comes in right before world shaking. Oh, it turns me on every time. Mars is still my favorite, but like obviously would fuck Uranus. So now I'm on to Super S. So if I want to keep watching on Hulu, I can only watch the subs, which, as I've expressed, is unacceptable. So I have bought a fucking DVD. I have not bought a DVD
Yes.
in maybe a decade,
I'm so happy for you.
but I have bought the Viz DVDs of Sailor Moon Super S.
I'm
And
so
Sailor Moon
excited.
Stars, which is the last season of Sailor Moon, has not been released, the Viz dub, but it is going to be released, I think, this year. So theoretically, I will get through Super S. And the Death Circus or something like that. I don't know. I've only like tangentially heard about it. Obviously, I haven't watched it yet. And then I'll get to Sailor Moon Stars. I am trepidatious about Super S because of all this Pegasus nonsense that I hear about Chibiusu falling in love with a horse. So I'm pretty concerned about that. But I look forward to watching it. Also, Mars is still my favorite. I just bought a Mars sweatshirt. It's very cute. And I don't hate Chibiusa as much as everybody else does. I actually kind of like Chibiusa a lot. Those are my updates.
So, how long until you get a Mars tattoo?
Girl, I have been thinking about it from the week one.
I know. I'm aware. That's why I'm asking. Hello.
I would probably just get the symbol. And probably just like after the wedding, there's like a bunch of tattoos that I want to get, but like probably this year, to be honest, because like it's been a very weird time in my life. And I like also obviously have fandom tattoos already. And I think it would fit in like kind of nicely in my like piece together sleep. So I will probably get a Mars tattoo.
Like, yes. All right.
I want to know what Sailor Scout you think Aaron would be. I am torn because like the obvious like kind of boring answer is to be like she's Uranus because like Uranus is like androgynous and gay.
Yeah.
But that's just kind of like aesthetically because like no offense Aaron, but like Aaron's not as scary as Uranus is.
Yeah, fair. I'm not.
I don't know. I think Aaron is hard to place as a Sailor Scout. And I'd
Yeah.
like to hear the fans weigh in on her Sailor Scout placement.
Yeah, I feel like maybe this isn't a universe that I'm in, but I'm interested to see what people have to say.
Yeah, maybe your tuxedo mask.
You know what? Probably.
You know what? I think actually you are tuxedo mask.
I was just going to say, like, what a perfect thing then to be like, my job here is done, but you haven't done anything. Swoop with McCabe.
Oh, yeah. Never mind. Don't answer this question. Aaron is tuxedo mask.
Fuck yeah.
That is hilarious. Oh my God.
That's very funny. I would not have put myself into that, but you're so right.
That is so funny to me. Okay, here's a question from Twitter. This is from A2 Zollinger on Twitter. Since the men's tag titles are brand specific, would it be fair to say that the titles that Bayley and Sasha hold is the new WWE tag titles, as it's the only full company title of that sort? I think that's fair.
Yeah, sure. You know what? Yes.
You know what? Fuck it.
Fuck yeah.
We'll do everything. I'm going to and yes, WWE.
Yes. we have a question from Henry T.K.
Wait, hold on. This reminded me. There are rumors. First of all, two rumors. There are rumors that Zack Ryder and Kurt Hawkins are going to face the Revival.
I think that's official now. I'm almost positive.
Okay, who do you think is going to win?
The Revival?
You know what?
Like,
I think Zack Ryder and Kurt Hawkins win.
You know what? I kind of think you're right. I feel like
it's a better story, right? Zack Ryder has had this, like, I was on the top, but then the man took me down, and I've only had my music play at WrestleMania one time, and it's like a big deal. And I'm like this constant underdog. And Kurt Hawkins is on this epic losing streak. What better way to, like, break it and have this pop than at WrestleMania?
And also, like, who gives a shit if the Revival beats them on Monday? Like, it doesn't matter.
Literally, who cares? Or have Zack Ryder and Kurt Hawkins win and then, like, bring up fucking a tag team that, like, decimates them. Like, who cares?
Totally.
Or fucking give Sanity literally anything to do.
Oh my God, that'd be nice.
I forgot. They are Shane McMahon's bodyguards. Never mind. And then who do you think interrupts Elias? Because Elias is the musical guest and there ain't no way nobody interrupts Elias.
The Rock? I don't know.
I think, you know what? I think it's Hulk Hogan.
No.
Or it's The Undertaker. Undertaker's not scheduled for anything. It could be The Undertaker, and then The Undertaker just comes out and, like, does a tombstone, and then we're done.
You know what actually probably happens?
Honestly, that's the perfect use of Undertaker.
The Undertaker probably comes out, interrupts Elias, does a tombstone on Elias, announces that he'll be at the next Saudi Arabia show, and then he leaves. I bet that is, he's rumored that he's going to be there at Mania, and that it's just for some kind of pop spot. So, like, I could see them doing that they're like, hey, everybody, pay attention to this next thing we're doing in this blood oil country.
Womp, womp. For another question.
Henry T. Casey asks, so Asuka's been done dirty by the booking, but how would you fix this if you had creative control and were stuck with the SmackDown Live belt on Charlotte? So this was before they made it winner takes all. So let's say Charlotte wins and has the belt and is on SmackDown. What do you do with Asuka? I still think Asuka versus Ruby Riott is the right way to take that.
Yes.
Wipe a clean slate and just have her do that. Like, they do not know whatever how to give her a belt.
Whatever show Charlotte is on, Asuka needs to be on the other show.
Yeah, I completely agree. They're too tied up together. It's just, we need to be done with that.
Done with that.
Yeah, I want to see her fight. I've been saying for ages they need to have fucking Nikki Cross and Asuka fight on the main roster. Like, I don't even care if they have women doing shit, like, have it be for a chance to have a first contenders match later or what the fuck ever. I don't even give a shit. Like, I just want to see women wrestle in stuff that's secondary storylines, and, like, have Asuka do that. That's fine. Like, do I want her to be champion? Absolutely. Are they good at having her be champion? Clearly fucking not. So, like, why not let her just have really fun, great matches as a mid-card? Like, sort of like I was saying about Johnny before, where, like, I think that she absolutely is top woman contender, like, could fucking totally hang, has one of the highest, like, streaks for holding a belt in WWE modern day history, like, also just WWE history, fucking straight period. But, like, they don't know what to do with her, and so I would rather see her be used well without a belt than, like, flounder in this way and then left to rot, and then flounder and then left to rot. Like, just let her have good matches. Like, I wish that they would just commit to letting women have more grudge matches and shit, that it wasn't just, it's because they have so few fucking belts, they, like, don't know what to do with them, and they're like, everyone has to want these belts! Like, why not have Asuka come back and be like, yeah, this blows whatever, the belt isn't even here anymore, and I'll just do whatever I fucking want, and, like, wreak havoc on Nikki and Carmella and whoever, like, have her fight Naomi. I don't know. I just want to watch her wrestle. Like, I don't even care if she gets vindicated for the belt at this point. Like, the only way to vindicate her is to let her actually wrestle.
I agree.
Oh, so frustrating.
I don't want to think Twitter about it.
Yeah, I like don't even want to think about it. Do you have another Twitter question?
No, but we have this observation from Joe. Hey, yes. Y'all, no question, just a fun observation. I didn't listen to the podcast from the beginning, but you always talk about how you hated the Bellas and now love them, obviously. And yep. Joe caught the change. Well, I'm amused because I guess I got to witness that with Stella's feelings of Scarlett. It's been very fun seeing and hearing your reactions now compared to the thoughts about her a year or more ago. Correct.
Yes.
People are complicated. There are nuances. And sometimes when you look at the surface, you're like, this is just the stereotype of a woman, blah, 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 of like a good, hot, blah. But then you like really pay attention and you like apply your weird feminist theories to it. And you're like, I get it. That's truly both the progressions of the Bellas and Scarlett. It's like us kind of like slapping theory on them and being like, yeah, it works.
Yeah, you allow yourself to be postured in this way, and you know what? I'm into that.
You know what? You are a business mogul.
Yes, that's truly what it is. We're like, you a girl boss? Okay.
But like, not like that book, because that book is terrible and that company is terrible and fucked. Honestly, hashtag girl boss is one of the worst books I've ever read in my life, and I could feel myself getting like physically like hot. Like my body temperature rose while reading that book because I was so furious.
Yeah, that's how, like, I tried to read part of Lean In, and I was like, nope, nope, no, 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 no.
We just had our meeting with our DJ, and she was like, are any other songs that, like, I should, like, definitely play? And I was like, it's called A Beautiful Life, the Brie Bella theme song.
My God.
I was like, you only have to play, like, 30 seconds of it, and please play it late in the night when everyone is messy. Thanks.
That's your Icona Pop. I love it. The one that everyone stood on the chairs for at my wedding.
That's so funny. Remo, just at in the middle. Nick said, please play it after I've left.
I love the idea that Nick would leave the wedding without you.
He's like, oh, it's Remo time? Goodbye.
That's what Michael did with the Icona Pop song. He was like, I'm going out into the lobby. Fuck this.
That's a great fucking song. This is so funny. When we were talking to our DJ today and we were like, you know, just like, I was like, I like a lot of songs from the 70s, but I also like a lot of pop songs. And we just want it to be a good dance party. And Nick goes, just think of like a gay nightclub, but like through the ages. And I was like, correct. A gay nightclub from 1970 to 2019 and just go from there.
Wow.
And she like hilariously, she like looked at our like, because they give you like a list to like circle and cross off, and she like looked at it, our list, and she was like, oh yes, correct. That was so funny and like such like a personal and deep read from my future husband, but also yes. So accurate.
Such a deep read.
Just a gay nightclub through the ages.
Oh my God, that is so, that's like, I love this story too of when I think it was your photographer or your videographer that you met with, that they were asking if there was anything else, and you were like, well, my good side is my left side, and, but that's I'm just kidding, and Nick went, she's not.
Yeah, it was our videographer. He was like, anything else we should know? And I was like, only shoot me from my right side. Just kidding. And Nick was like, she's not kidding.
Yeah.
This is how you know we're meant to be. Any other thoughts about WrestleMania?
No, I think there will be fun things about it. It's just such a long, daunting process.
I'm not looking forward to it.
Yeah. I just, you know.
I'm just like not excited about it.
I'm excited to see my friends and hang out, but I'm not like stoked about a lot of what's happening.
You know what? Kofi mania, man. That's what I'm. Oh, you didn't answer my other question. Are you wearing anything special on Takeover Night or WrestleMania Day?
I'm not sure. I think I'm gonna wear probably my Queen of the Deathmatch shirt to Mania because it's comfortable and also because women.
Women.
I didn't want to pick a specific one on Takeover. Honestly, I'll probably be wearing my Wrestling is Forever shirt because I have to drive to Michigan and I want to be comfortable.
Yeah, I don't think I own a shirt for anybody. You know what? Candice LeRae is going to be in like the pre-show, which won't air until next week. So maybe I'll wear my equality shirt, my intergender shirt, because like I don't actually think I own a shirt for anybody else on the card now that I'm
Wow.
thinking about it.
That's crazy.
Yeah, because I didn't buy a lot of their indie merch and I don't really buy shit from WWE anymore because the designs are so tragic. But Sunday, I will be wearing my Kofi Mania shirt because I
Yes.
obviously bought that because I am a fucking mark. A, it's a great ass logo. And B, oh God, Kofi Mania for life. Even if he doesn't win, like I want to mark this moment. And New Day is like, I stand. Like, I can't help it.
Always and truly. And watching Big E just shoot his mouth off on Twitter is something else. Like, man, they are allowed to say things I did not think that they were allowed to say.
I think
And
like they're at a point where like they're big enough stars, people love them that they have that protection. But I also think truly in their heart of hearts, they're like, we tried doing this, not being genuine, and it didn't work. And we are only going to be genuine. And if it costs us, then it costs us. But like we can't not be who we are anymore. And I fucking respect that.
yeah. Oh, also, sort of related to people being able to do and say whatever they want. Becky Lynch is apparently the number one merch seller at WWE right now, too, which is also makes me think, like, yeah, they might actually put this on her. I think they understand that people are behind her in a way. Like, she moves
Out on
fucking
Becky.
money. Yeah. Like, man, she really. She, like, I understand part of it is, and this is a little cynical, but, like, part of it is that Roman was gone and, like, his merch sales fell and he was the top earner for a super long time. Kevin Owens was the top earner for a while and then he got hurt and his merch sales fell too. And, like, Becky got fucking in there. She saw that gap and was like, people need someone that they want. Scarlett Harris had a great interview with Becky Lynch about how she was like, I see that people like me and I want to fucking get people in seats and I'm good at it. Like, yeah, bitch, you are. Clearly you are. And like the fact that you can move all this terrible WWE merch really says something.
Sidebar, dark horse for the Andre Battle Royal, whatever, Kevin Owens.
Oh, yeah. That's a good pick. That is a really good pick.
Dark horse, man. All right. Well, you can find us on the internet. I'm at Stella underscore cheeks.
I'm at Earn Gen Z.
You can use the hashtag not your demo pod to interact with us online. I don't know why I made it weird, but I did.
I mean, that's kind of our thing. You can email us at notyourdemo@gmail.com.
We are recording again on Thursdays. We are not doing the Saturday morning anymore because my schedule shifted. So we're on like a semi like normal schedule now. So if you do want questions that are answered, please get them into us before Thursday night.
Yes.
You can rate, review, and subscribe at iTunes. Make sure you follow Cage Side Seats this weekend for Mania so you can hear all of my thoughts. And I will have many, I'm sure.
Let's see, what else? Oh, you can get our merch at whatamaneuver.net. We have two great shirts up there. You can also subscribe to our Patreon. Come listen to Every Mania Ever and Not Your Demo After Dark. And we have a bunch of reviews up there about weird shit that's tangentially related to WWE. There's a lot. You should check it out for sure. Patreon.com/notyourdemopod.
That's it.
Think
We did it.
that's it.
Happy WrestleMania weekend, Aaron. Just be positive about it.
Yeah, happy WrestleMania weekend, Stella. Stay hydrated, and that goes for everybody, truly. Stay hydrated this weekend, guys. It is hard to watch something for 8 hours. Think wisely about your choices.
Put the wood on Kofi. Free
Put the wood on coffee.
mode.
Free mode.
All right, you got them pulled up?
All right. No, you didn't tell me to pull them up.
Bitch, I went to the bathroom. I thought you would have done something.
No, of course not. I don't do anything unless I'm instructed to.
You were like, oh, we got questions. And I was like, cool, I'll be right back. And you were just like,
yeah, I checked my email. My email.
Why not the email with the question?
Okay, I'm ready. Are you ready?
Yeah, bitch, I done been ready.